Maybe the poison is running into your blood system. And then are you going to go and search for the snake and ask the snake, why have you just bitten me?
Yeah, obviously, either I'm going to probably die in the process, right, if I were to do that. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of a very similar sort of Zen tradition, a Japanese Zen tradition, where they talk about how there's two monks, and they're walking, and it's raining, and they come up to, like, a road crossing, and there's, like, a woman standing there. So she asks for help, right? She says, can you help me cross the street because it's full of water? And the first, you know, one of the monks, he just picks up the woman and he carries her across to the other side. Then these two monks, they continue walking. So the other monk, he's really annoyed, right? So he asks him, like, what happened? He's like, you know, we're monks. We're like, we're not supposed to, like, do that. So he says, look, you know, I put her down, like, 5 minutes ago. Why are you still carrying her, right? So I think the idea is that you don't want to, like, carry, like, negative emotions with you, right? I'm assuming, like, that's one of the ideas that comes to my mind. There's definitely other things we can talk about, but that's one idea that comes to my mind.
Speaking of these situations, it's usually in our, I guess, instinct that sometimes we'd like to find the cause or the root of something that happens to us. But I guess it's the maturity and our knowledge that decides here in this situation. Either we're going to react or we're going to still find information. As forgiveness, I guess sometimes even forgiveness plays a significant role here. That is the person going to forgive and just solve it within themselves? Mm-hmm. Or no, they're going to just go deep into the details and find a route that is most of the times useless and self-harming, like, there is no use in finding the roots of the instinct of another person that has caused too many problems for us.
Well, I should say that as human beings, it's not that easy to put it this way that, okay, we should just forget about it and things like that. Yes, we may forgive, but to forget, that's very difficult. So we technically might go for causes because that would give us a lot more of elaboration about ourselves. Like I ask myself, okay, I'm going for these causes because I want to know what's wrong with me.
But sometimes there is nothing wrong with us, you know?
Another situation I think where this would actually apply is maybe, let's say, somebody who's done you wrong and now you need to, like, you know, fight for your right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if somebody's, like, wronged me and I can seek justice, right? Then I would go after the snake and seek justice, you know? Mm. Why would I let a wrongdoer just escape and get away? They should be brought to justice. They should be, like, you know, that oppression should be taken away from society, right?
Yeah, but sometimes the case is too clear that we know that it's in the other person's personality. Like,
It depends on the situation then.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, we're getting somewhere nice. You're talking about the nature of human beings. Let's just go for a break and then we'll be back to see some more of details about what you mentioned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Yes, we just brought up a case and then we're just dissecting different parts of it. And since we are in Back to Reality, we have to figure out what the reality is all about. So for every single thing that we mention in here, there are different perspectives. Maybe you as listeners are going to get another dimension of what we're talking about. So these are just some triggers to make you think more about different occasions, like in our real everyday human interactions. So you mentioned human nature, and I guess you mean that, okay, I know that the nature of this person is a bitter nature, like they have got this personality that is unchangeable and it would affect other people.
Yes.
And now that it's like that, I have to let it go.
I have to forgive, you know, as recently I've been just reading some stories and I've heard the story of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in Surah Al-Araf, verse 199, it is mentioned, like, God is directly even telling his Prophet to enjoy forgiveness and just let go of the foolish from the people, turn away from the foolish and enjoy that forgiveness within yourself. And that has really affected me. Like, since I read this, I recognize that even a prophet who has all the right to fight for the foolish actions of people, even the people from his own time, he's been commanded to forgive and let go of the actions that are hurting him.
Well, now, as a person who listens to what you say, I would say that these things are easier said than done.
Yeah.
Like, but in a practical world of reality, when we're living with each other and we have interaction with normal, ordinary human beings, it's very difficult for me to be as kind as a prophet and then say, okay, this other person, this coworker of mine, this, I don't know, classmate of mine who's doing me wrong, I would forgive everything they do to me.
Yeah, I totally understand. It's so hard to act like him. But at least we can have him as the role model. Think of his stories deeply.
Exactly.
I was saying, you know, you'll find like sometimes normal, everyday-to-day people, they'll forgive their, someone who's been murdered in their family. I don't know if you ever heard these kind of stories.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, in Islam, we are highly, highly recommended to forgive others. I should add the sort of the idea, although, is that if someone is like is causing harm to society, that's not necessarily a place where we should be forgiving them, right? Let's say somebody's like known for like stealing or committing fraud. You don't necessarily want to like...
Yeah, there are too many cases in which we are not even allowed to forgive.
Right, right. So it depends on the case. But if it's like somebody who's individually maybe wronged me, somebody who said something wrong to me, if it's just something that's personal, then we definitely should be going towards the forgiveness side as much as we can. And we'll see that makes us better. Well, one thing I would say in the analogy that we're using where the snakes has bitten us, you know, we're saying that we may end up wasting a lot of our time on like other people that have maybe caused us harm. Like, I think my teacher says this one.
Like, we might die in the process of searching for the reasons.
Well, he says like, you know, like getting angry at somebody else because they've, let's say, insulted you or something is really like you like drinking poison yourself, right?
Yeah.
This can also relate to like overthinking, right? Sometimes we overthink about a situation too much. Whereas we're saying, look, let it go, like be easy. Like,
Let the bygones be the bygones.
Yeah, like people are like this. Like, you know, we've probably caused other people harm in our lives, right? And they've forgiven us. So we should be just as kind to them, I think, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I guess the first step can be to give ourselves some bit of time. Like reacting, and most of the times overreacting even worsens the problem. And sometimes looking at the issue from the both sides, like the person who has done the wrong and our own self, that we surely this way can judge better. We can think of the both situations. And sometimes even we can make ourselves accept the situation better and react better.
Yeah, now we had a professor of criticism, actually. We had criticism together. And then in the stories, you know how the characters work out. Like, there are some characters who would hurt the other people. And then, just as we were just criticizing and analyzing those characters, he came to mention something very nice. He said that when you are going to analyze people, try to put yourself in their shoes. Like, try to have some empathy. Like, there are some evil characters that you would feel even sympathy with these sort of characters. Welcome back. This is Back to Reality. We're talking about how to let go, which is not a very easy task. But then we have to learn from the, just as you mentioned, from the prophet, from the role models that we have in our Islamic heritage. And there are also other things that we could gain through practice in everyday life. Like if we start, I always think, what are the ways for me to stop overthinking? Because I guess the first step is when I come to digest things into detail. Like I come to bring each and every part out and think about them too much in an excessive way.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the way to stop overthinking is to really distract yourself. You know, we sometimes do this with kids, right? When kids are like doing something wrong, we'll tell, like, we need to distract them, right? My teacher was saying that his daughter died and his niece died during COVID.
Oh.
And that had a really, really huge like impact on him, right?
Yes.
On an emotional level. And he's a therapist himself, but he said the way he would stop himself from like overthinking about the sadness and the grief, like he would just go get groceries. He would go water the garden, right?
Yeah.
He would go play with kids. So that's one technique I think you can use. But one thing I wanted to mention before that you mentioned the point about empathy. So when we talk about, you know, doing therapy of others, you know, when you have someone who comes to you for therapy, the key technique to get them to sort of open up and to like, you know, trust you and to tell you their problems, you must empathize with them,
mm-hmm.
right? And I asked my teacher, what if like, you know, somebody comes and tells you something really extreme? Because people do really extreme things, right?
Exactly.
Sometimes they're really disgusting or they're really horrifying.
Yeah.
He said that, you know, that person who's asking me for help, I see that they're, you know, they're burning on the inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like under stress. So my job is to feel that stress and their pain, and that way I can then help cure them. I think sometimes that's why some people harm us. Like they're sick or they need help.
Exactly. It's their shout for help.
And like we've given examples of the Prophet, he would many times, you know, you're told be nice to someone who harms you, right? At times, because that helps them become better.
I guess our brain, human brain, loves to think a lot, loves to find different aspects, think about it, and sometimes bother us. And I guess the intentional stop that we can have on our brain and on our thinking can really help. When we intentionally stop overthinking,
mm-hmm.
Little by little, this will be our habit of not bothering
yeah.
ourselves with
it's
something
like
that is not...
formation. You're
exactly,
helping
it's
your
not
brain
ideal.
To go for habit formation.
Yeah.
Which, again, needs a lot of practice.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. So in the case of the snake that we brought up at the very beginning of this episode, I guess we should not go and search for the snake because we might die in the process. So we just have to deal with the poison that has been inside of us.
But sometimes it applies to religious issues. Sometimes people ask, like, you know, 1,000 questions about something where we may not necessarily have answers for, right?
Exactly.
You sometimes have to accept reality, right? This is mm-hmm. this is the reality.
And I'm sure if we search and dig deeper, we might have some other dimensions and perspectives toward that analogy mentioned at the very beginning of today's episode. So thank you, brother, and thank you, sister, for your cooperation. And thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us until another session. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the second day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. As we had promised yesterday, today we will speak about the customs of different ethnicities in Iran in Nowruz. Today we will speak about the customs of people in Mazandaran and Golestan provinces. Stay with us, please. Mazani and Katuli ethnicities are the most groups living in the north and northeast of Iran. They have very similar customs and traditions, though their dialects may sound somehow different. Nowruz Khan is the person who goes from street to street and neighborhood to neighborhood to give the news of coming of a spring a few weeks before Nowruz. What he does is called Nowruz Khani, literally meaning reciting and singing on Nowruz. Nowruz Khans in Mazandaran start their job in Esfand, the last month of the Iranian calendar year. Carrying a stick and a backpack, they walk in the alleys and streets of their city and sing melodies in their Mazani dialect containing good news of arrival of a spring. Local people serve them with sweets and pastries. This custom has been held mostly in villages for the recent years. According to historical accounts, Nowruz Khani dates back to pre-Islam era. Nowruz Khani among Katul people of Golestan province is also interesting. Katuli ethnicity sing Nowruz Khani with setar instrument, and sometimes people accompany the singer. Singers wish a good and happy year for people and pray for the remedy of the sick. Another beautiful custom among people in Mazandaran in Nowruz is to determine luck for the new year. It means the first person who enters the house will be good-footed. In some regions of Mazandaran province, the custom is called Madarm. According to this traditional custom, a few minutes before the turn of the year, a person who is accepted among all members of the family stands at the threshold with a tray containing a copy of the Noble Quran, a bowl of water, and green sprouts. He waits for the moment of turn of the year. He's the first person who steps in the house. He sprinkles water on the threshold or corner of the house, and other members of family put a gift in the tray. Choosing luck for the new year differs from region to region. According to an old belief, a good luck will bring a good year for the house. Sometimes a person is the luck of several houses. Thus, families wait till his turn for their house. Another custom among the people of Mazandaran and Golestan provinces is venerating of the dead on the last Thursday of year. Like many people across the country, they go to the graveyards and recite Quran and distribute sweets, halwa, and other edibles, hoping to attract God's mercy for their dead ones. This day is known as Alfe in the region. According to the Islamic narrations, the dead expect gifts from their families. Thus, when their siblings, parents, or other relatives recite verses of the Quran, especially chapter Hamd, for them, the spirits of the dead will benefit from it. We have also been recommended to recite Salawat, greetings to the Prophet and his progeny, and send its reward to the spirit of the dead. In many villages, the custom of Alfe is held in the traditional form. The hosts clean their houses and try to forget spites and grudges. They fumigate wild rue and distribute edibles as votive for guests. Wild rue is believed to ward off bad luck. They also keep a light or lantern burning outdoors, believing that the spirits of the dead will find a way to the house easier. The relatives of the dead spread a tablecloth over the grave and put various kinds of edibles on it as votive. This old custom remains to date with some changes. Now, let us become familiar with some of the foods in Mazandaran and Golestan for Nowruz. The people of Katul have baked a special kind of bread called Bibi Nowruz since old times. It was more popular in mountainous regions. The people of Katul used to bake big breads as many as the men of the family. This was Bibi Nowruz and would be consumed till the end of Nowruz. Then, on the 13th day, that is Sizde Bedar, they would go to the plains and gardens and eat what had remained from the breads. If they couldn't finish all breads, they would pour the rest in a river or leave it for animals to eat. This was considered as a gift to the nature. Well, let's see what pastries or candies are made in Mazandaran and Golestan provinces for Nowruz. Walnut halwa is a kind of pastry which is made in Mazandaran for Nowruz. It is called aguza halwa in some cities. It is made from walnut, rice, sugar and oil. Halwa is prepared for both feast and mourning in the north of Iran. Posht zik is another pastry made in Mazandaran. It contains sesame and sugar. It is very tasty. Now, dear listeners, in the next episode, we will become familiar with the customs of Nowruz in Gilan province. God bless you and goodbye.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked as
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Welcome to another episode of the program Ulema's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hojjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned. The holy month of Ramadan is the time for finding the opportunities. This is the best chance for reconciliation with Allah. This is the best chance for planning and discipline in our religious life. Ramadan is the best time for strengthening our piety and willpower. This is the best time to abide by our promises. Ramadan is the best time for achieving prosperity both in this world and the hereafter.
Ramazan ماه تقویت اراده است.
The holy month of Ramadan is a time for strengthening our willpower. By strengthening the willpower, we can avoid haram looks. We can avoid gluttony. We can avoid haram food and drinks. We can avoid haram income and earnings. The holy month of Ramadan is the best chance for controlling our anger. This is the best opportunity to regret from our past mistakes and sins. And this is the best time for asking for Allah's forgiveness. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulema's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hojjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. Iranian weapon. Part 3.
Iran has long been trying to buy a Russian system called the S-300. Tehran has already purchased a sort of the export version of the system. This system is called Tor M1 or SAM 15. The range of the missiles and radar of this system is short and suitable for hitting cruise missiles and drones at low altitudes. Therefore, the S-300 can undo the knots of the Iranian defense dome. Tor means dominance. The Russian system has a lot of operational capability at very low to medium altitudes, but may be captured in enemy cyber operations. These 300s should reach Iran, but the same system gets stuck in the net of sanctions, and their delivery to Iran has made headlines for quite a while. The position of the Islamic Republic is standing against any aggression and humiliation. Delay in delivery of the S-300 prompts Iran to start developing a similar air defense system. It's a bold claim, but Iran has previously reverse-engineered American systems, so it isn't unlikely to reach this one as well. Meanwhile, the project to design an Iranian S-300 system had started, and on the other hand, the complaint against the Russians had yielded good results, and the first convoy of S-300s was arriving in Iran. After all, the S-300 is finally arriving in Iran. Iran has gained significant expertise in reverse engineering defense technology and is now moving toward designing a new system based on a combination of Western and Eastern technologies. Iran has many natural specifications, which are why it needs diverse air defense systems. The combination of these systems is called DOME. The Iranian DOME covers everywhere in the country, including the mountains and even the seas. With the launch of the Nur military satellite, there is hope that Iran will be able to monitor its land from space. However, until that day comes, there are still several wonders left for the Americans. First, at the beginning of the 2010s, here at the Kandahar Air Base belonging to the U.S. occupying forces in Afghanistan. In the early 2010s, Iran was no longer like Iraq, where by destroying limited radar stations, one could blind the eyes. This was a lesson that Iran's air defense gave to the Americans in December of 2011. This aircraft that takes off the ground will leave a different mark in the history of Iran-U.S. relations. The aircraft utilizes the cutting-edge military technology in the world, the Beast of Kandahar, or the RQ-170. It's an aircraft with the highest level of stealth. The RQ flies into Iranian airspace. The RQ pilots are certain that no one is able to see them on its radar. No Iranian air defense had locked on RQ. Everything is like the F-117s that flew over Iraq. The American side is completely relaxed, but the Americans are wrong. Not only the radar see the RQ, but even the flight image of the aircraft can be seen live in the Iranian operations room. A few minutes later, the RQ connection with the Kandahar Center is cut off. The Americans are still confused as to what happened to their strategic UAV, and images are broadcast on Iranian TV. The RQ is safe and sound on the ground and now in control of the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps personnel. The footage is amazing. Has Iran reached a level of technology that can not only see or destroy the most important espionage aircraft in the world, but also land it safely on the ground? The news is true. So true that the U.S. president confirms it in front of the cameras in amazement. Iran gives the answer to the U.S. side a year later in this place. When the leader of the revolution sits in front of the American UAV and the Iranian version of the RQ-170. Seymourg is an Iranian model of the RQ-170 that takes off the ground. Some time later, Seymourg makes its first operational cross-border flight here, striking the Daesh headquarters near the U.S. military base. This is not a simple event. In this way, the Seymourg flies from Iran in the middle of the night and strikes the strategic depth of Daesh in such a way that the U.S. defenses did not show the slightest reaction. The Iranian Seymourg was hidden from the U.S. defenses, and this by no means is something irrelevant. An important achievement has been made in this dark night. However, Iran's air defense system has just begun its job. The Iranian skies are no longer safe for spy aircraft. August 2014, Isfahan Province. This fragmented aircraft is the Israeli regime's most important spy aircraft, Hermes. The legendary name shows that the Israeli UAV is very smart, intelligent, and untraceable, of course, until before this scene. This is the same Hermes that had been unveiled with this shape and image. In an ugly and inhuman act, Israel used civilian airliners as a shield for Hermes. Firing any missiles towards Hermes could have caused the downing of a passenger plane, and this alone would have been a means of media war against Iran. The Israelis never admitted that they hid their espionage UAV in the airway routes. Therefore, the detection and targeting process of the espionage UAV took roughly 40 minutes and finally was destroyed over the city of Natanz. The fact that the Iranian radars detected the not-so-large Israeli drones among all the passenger planes is just one side of the story. But the fact that the Iranian missiles were able to distinguish the super stealth UAV from the other planes without mistake and destroy it is another story. It means Iran has reached a high level in air defense. This preparedness is a product of these drills. This is Semnon in 2018. The Iranian army is in war drills, and the cameras catch a glimpse of a special radar and air defense system. This system is called Mersad. But the type of its missile remains unknown, and no information about them was published until the end of the 2000s. Drone power and defense power. Images are displaying only the power of one of the combat units of the Iranian army. Not all of Iran's armed forces. That was in 2018, that is, only 30 years after the final year of Iraq's war on Iran, and when Iran had a lot of problems defending its own skies. A year later, the Semnon Desert again. The Mersad 16 system is supposed to be tested here. Mersad 16. Not every country can manufacture this. The Iranian Hafiz radar is highly capable and has brought Iran to a point where it can cover up to 250 kilometers. Hafiz simultaneously engages and tracks 100 targets. This is how Hafiz was tested next to Mersad 16.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all over the world. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. May Allah Almighty inshallah bless us in this holy month, and may you inshallah include us in your du'as as well. Welcome to IRB English Radio. Let's recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, and I'm glad to let you know that we have Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider with us today in this session. Everyone, salamu alaikum. Hussein, salam, how are you?
Alaikum salam, sir.
Are you good? Alhamdulillah. How are you doing with Ramadan?
That's good, sir.
Good? Alhamdulillah. Good. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Great.
Good. Good. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. And Fawad? Inshallah, we will talk about Ayah 55 and Ayah 56, two verses from Surah Al-A'raf. And on what page? Could you help?
157.
157. So, brothers and sisters, if you have your Quran with you, turn to page 157. 157, Surah Al-A'raf, two verses, Ayah 55 and Ayah 56. 6. So, we have a beautiful recitation of these two verses. Let's listen to it.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufyah. Innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadin. ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها وادعوه خوفا وطمعا إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين.
That was a nice recitation, wasn't it?
Yes, it was nice.
Hope you've enjoyed it. So, now we will practice the tajweed rules, and also will explain what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. It's very important to understand what we read. Yep.
Yes.
So, Allah Almighty says in ayah 55, both verses talk about dua, how to pray, okay? How to pray and the importance of prayer. Look. In the first ayah, Allah Almighty says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أدعو ربكم تضرعا وخفيا. Supplicate your Lord, it means talk to your Lord. Make dua, تضرع, it means ask Allah Almighty besiegingly and secretly. So Allah Almighty says, whenever you want to talk to your Lord, whenever you want to make dua, when you want to have munajat with your Lord, try to do it secretly. It's better for you. أُدْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَهُ إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Indeed, he does not like the transgressors. Transgressors, okay? Those who, for example, Allah Almighty might mean this, but you have to look at the Tafasir book as well, okay? Maybe Allah Almighty wants to say that you don't have to be such kind of people who shout at Allah, "Oh Allah, give me this! Why don't you give me this? Why don't you accept my prayers?" Why? Allah Almighty does not say that this is completely unacceptable. Don't never do this. No, sometimes maybe a person is so in a difficult time. He wants to shout. He wants to talk to his Lord that way. But because of respect, politeness, better to talk to him slowly, quietly. Yes?
Yes.
Ask him respectfully. Yes. All right. That's it. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. And do not cause corruption on the earth after its restoration. وَدْعُوا خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And supplicate him with fear and hope. إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِّنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Indeed, Allah's mercy is close to the virtuous people. Look, sometimes we might see that, oh, our country is safe. Alhamdulillah, we got security. We got everything. We're being blessed. So we don't need to supplicate our Lord anymore. No. Allah Almighty says, when you got a peaceful life, okay, a very calm life, secure life, doesn't mean that you should stop. Allah says, udu'uhu khawfa wa tama'a. Still have fear, still have hope. You should do it, okay? So, inshallah, refer to the Tafasir books to learn more about these two beautiful verses. Now, time for Hussein to recite these two verses, and we will help you guys, your new dear listeners, with the tajweed rules.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية إنه لا يحب المعتدين ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها وادعوه خوفا وطمعا
أحسنت
إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين
ما شاء الله. Allah bless you, inshallah, in this holy month. May Allah shower His blessings upon you, brother.
Inshallah.
That was good. Upon everyone listening to his recitation. Upon Fawad, Hassan, and also...
Yeah, especially Fawad. Nasser.
Yeah, yeah. All our brothers as well, and sisters all over the world listening to Arab English Radio right now. So, udu'u, I'm questioning you guys. Why Hussein recited it like ud'u. Hamzatul wasl in the beginning doesn't have any sign, doesn't have fatha, kasra, dhamma. Hussein picked dhamma and he recited ud'u. Who
yes.
can answer this?
Yes, sir. Ask yes, Hussein. Sir.
Ask himself?
Yeah.
Oh, Hussein, why did you do that?
Because the third letter had dhamma.
A dhamma. All right. So,
what is the third letter?
What is the third letter?
Ayn.
Ayn.
Oh, good.
Ayn is the third letter. So, Hamzatul Wasl, Dal, and Ayn. So, Ayn is the third here. So, the rule says, Fawad, what?
We should see the third letter.
Okay.
If it is Dhamma, we'll okay. assign the Hamzatul Wasl with Dhamma.
If the third letter in the verbs the word. In Arabic, yeah. verbs in Arabic, if the third letter has a Dhamma.
Dhamma. We'll assign Hamzatul Wasl with Dhamma.
Oh, Hamzatul Wasl is assigned with Dhamma.
But
Ud'u, the same as this word.
Yes.
In case we have... So we have three harakat.
Yeah. yeah.
Dhamma, Fatha, Kasra. Kasra. What about Fatha and Kasra?
But when we have Fatha or Kasra, we'll assign the Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra.
With Kasra. Both of them, Fatha and Kasra?
Yes.
Good job.
How many
so that's the rule.
How many exception?
Good job. If you have... The Dhamma on the third letter, assign Hamzatul Wasl with
Adhamma.
Adhamma. Udu'u. U'umur. Alright? Unsur. If you have a Fatha or Kasra with the third letter, assign Hamzatul Wasl with Kasra for both of them. For Kasra and Fatha. Like Irja', Irji'i.
Yes.
Or for example, you have Isbir, I'lam. These words. Ihdina, for example, Ihdina al-Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ihdi. Good job. Nice answer.
Qur'ani nabdu hayati, Qur'ani tahra dhati, Qur'ani asmatu amri, Qur'ani tawqu najati. Qur'ani nabdu hayati.
How to learn Qur'an easy? What is the correct way to read the Qur'an? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
تضرعاً وخفية. What about that? تضرعاً وخفية. Yes, you have to
merge
the sound. What rule is that?
إدغام.
The rule إدغام. Refer to the Tajweed rules in case you don't know. We merge them. تضرعاً وخفية. فحسن. We got a jim here. Also in the next eye, we got a jim. What does the jim say? What does it indicate?
It said that you're allowed to stop.
All right. It gives us a permission to stop here. Good job. Innahu. Make sure you have a wow, a baby wow, a tiny wow. Right after the ha. You?
Stretch it.
Stretch it. Innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadin. La yuhibbul, if you say, God forbid, if you forget the alif.
Yeah, it for means, sure.
For sure,
it
Allah
changed the meaning.
Loves the transgressors. So, that changes. Make sure you pronounce the alif with lam. لا يحب المعتدين ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها ود ودعوه
قلقلة.
Explain it.
Yeah, the five you? Letters.
Alright.
When they are sakin.
Whenever they are sucking these five letters.
Yeah, assigned with sukoon. Right. We will produce a echoing sound or
an echoing sound.
Bouncing sound.
All right. What are those letters? Fawad, tell us what are those letters?
They in total mean qutb jad.
Qutb jad.
So individually, qaf, ta, ba, jim, and da.
Thank you so much. Good. Wadu'uhu khawfan. The same as the upper one. Tadarru'aw. وطمعاً طمع in case you stop here. So this is called مدل
عارض
no مدل عوض
عوض
intentional mistake.
Nice one. No problem. If that was intentional, still inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-muhsin. So inna rahmatallahi qareebun, you join it with meme. Qari
boom
min al-muhsinin. That's all. So these are the important tajweed rules that you need to pay attention. I will recite these two ayatain. Make sure you listen and repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, time to practice the recitation. Ready, everyone?
Yes.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Ud'u Rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufyah.
Ud'u Rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufyah.
Innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadin.
إنه لا يحب المعتدين.
ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها وادعوه خوفا وطمعا.
ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها وادعوه خوفا وطمعا.
Inna rahmatallahi qareebun minal muhsinin.
Inna rahmatallahi qareebun minal muhsinin.
Sadaqallahul aliyyul azim.
Sadaqallahul aliyyul azim.
Thank you so much. That's all from us for today. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thanks for being with us. See you in the next session. Thanks, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, for being with us in this session. Stay with us, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. See you in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه. لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.